The Bible is a missionary book. And the first two missionaries in the New Testament, I consider the Virgin Mary and Joseph. The Virgin Mary delivered unto mankind a Savior, Christ the Lord. And Joseph proclaimed his name unto mankind. Joseph called him Jesus. What a proclamation. As Gerard said, that's the missionary message to cry, "Behold the Lamb." Now in these two very wonderful characters, and would you open your Bibles with me, please? It's something more of a Bible study this evening, and of course we're looking at Luke's Gospel chapter 1 for a start. In these two very wonderful characters, there are identical principles, both with Joseph and with Mary. And likewise with these missionaries that have been testifying this afternoon. And likewise with every person who would give their life to Jesus Christ for his service. These identical principles. First, with Joseph and Mary, there was the call of God. Clear and unmistakable. They heard the call. Then there was the committal. God's call, and we'll look at Mary, and Mary's committal to God. Involved indeed in the committal is that principle of faith. Both of them heard the word of God, and they believed the word of God, and they obeyed the word of God. This is implicit in the missionary call. I did enjoy that poem we heard last night, but it's got no place whatsoever in this missionary call. No man or woman, God forbid that any man or a woman should ever be moved to commit themselves or to attempt to commit themselves to Jesus Christ through shame. It's not great enough. It's firstly through the word of God. Both this man and this woman heard God's word. It was clear and unmistakable. And involved in their lives was this principle of faith. They believed it. And of Joseph we read that Joseph did what the angel had bidden him to do. And of Mary we read she made this response, "Be it unto me according to thy word." It was the word of God upon which they established their faith. Now likewise involved in the two was this principle of the cross of Jesus Christ. They couldn't avoid it even in that very early day. And neither could you avoid bearing the cross of Jesus Christ. To Mary it was that in obeying the Lord, she was to be pregnant before she was married. The cross. She understood it. It was very, very real to her. It was a very real thing too in the life of our Lord, you know, because once when the Pharisees and the scribes were arguing with him and they were bitter in their arguments, they said to the Lord, "We be not born of fornication." The implication was perfectly clear. So there was the cross to Mary, and there was the cross to Joseph. And they bore it. Now the cross is not altogether something about which we should seek to run away. It's something extremely precious. It's not our cross, but it's the cross of Jesus Christ. And from the cross of Jesus Christ there flows redemption, forgiveness of sins, cleansing in the precious blood, new life, a transformation of life. Why? This is wonderful. It's what our hearts desire. To Mary, and I love this, I'm sure we all love this very beautiful character. Her feet, by the way, were beautiful. She was beautiful. To Mary, as she took up the cross, It was a thing of rejoicing. She sang this most lovely song. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour." And Mary sang her song, a great and a glorious song. You see, the cross to Mary, even though she was well informed that eventually a sword would pierce through her own heart, she knew all that. She wasn't acting in the dark. She was well informed by God himself through the angel Gabriel. With all that, it was to Mary a thing of rejoicing, this lovely song. We sing the song. I'm so glad it was included in the Book of Common Prayer. I don't think we have quite the tune that Mary sang. Hers would have been like the English thrush in the early morning. You know, I think when God made that little bird, he said to that little bird, "I'm going to give you the most glorious song of all. But there's a cross you're going to bear. You're going to sing that song in the proximity of human beings, in the midst of their pollution." And the English thrush does just that. Well, the cross to Mary indeed was a song. And there was a wonderful reward. We must never lose sight of the reward that God has for those who obey him. It's not to serve the Lord, to obey the Lord, is not just an experience of crucifixion. The flesh indeed needs to be crucified, that we might have that transformation of spirit. But it's Christ's cross. And there's something tremendously precious about this. Would you turn with me, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. We're still considering that missionary call of men and women whose message and whose lives changed the world. Mark 3, verse 13. "And Jesus goeth up into a mountain, and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils." Now I'm suggesting to you from the scripture that the call is a very sacred and precious thing. These disciples were called to be with Jesus. To be with him. Him, Jesus. The Savior of the world. The crucified. The risen. The triumphant over sin and over death. The ascended into heaven one. The one who poured out the Holy Spirit upon mankind. They were called to be with Jesus. Sometimes we say we are called to serve. That's right. But a secondary, we are called first to be with him. We are called to be sons of God. And as sons of God, to live with him. Would you turn back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, please? Or rather, forward to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. And it's verses 1 to 3. Luke 8, 1 to 3. "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod, Stuart, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." Here is the call of God. Firstly, to be with him. And there's something very precious about these women, and there's always been something very precious about the ministry of women. The disciples were with him, and so were the women. But they ministered unto him. the grace and the privilege that God seems to have given specifically to women to minister to Jesus Christ. This was very precious too in the life of the Apostle Paul. It's very obvious in the scriptures that Aquila and Priscilla were very precious to Paul. Their coming meant something very much to him. And Paul seems to have very tender thoughts to the sister. Sometimes he speaks of Priscilla and Aquila, other times of Aquila and Priscilla. And at least on one occasion for Priscilla, he uses a little nickname, which was no doubt precious to him and to her. He calls her Prisca. And I'm quite sure it was because Priscilla had this gracious ministry to the Apostle Paul. I'm sure if we'd spoken to her about this, she would have said, what I do was unto Jesus. And that's why, undoubtedly, there was such a sweet fragrance of what Priscilla had to do. It was done as unto Jesus. And these are people who have changed the course of the world. These are people who have brought life into the church of Jesus Christ. Life and sweetness and kindness. Now I want that we should get these two things. I'm going to repeat them again and again. The call to the disciples was to be with Jesus. And it hasn't altered. To be with Jesus meant that they were to learn of him. They were to know his word. They were to understand him. And knowing him, they were to serve him. The Lord Jesus, speaking of this life in John's Gospel, chapter 15, he called it the life of abiding. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can you. And if a branch bear not fruit, it abide not in the vine, and it bear not fruit, it's dry and withered, it's cut off, it's no good for anything but to be cast into the fire and burned. So the specific life that God has for his children is a life of abiding in Jesus Christ. And this indeed is the objective that God put into our hearts in the very beginning. When we're in Bible school, we used to debate the subject as whether the need was the call. I don't know whether Bible school students have ever managed to finalize that great question. What is the call of God? To me, the need was not the call. I had a specific call of God from his word. It was from John's Gospel, chapter 10. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he putteth them forth. That was my call. It was the word of God. And having such a sure foundation, I was able to believe it and have faith in it and to obey it. Would you turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's your calling. Called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John, the epistle of, first epistle of John, please. And chapter 1. And it is verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is our calling. Calling to the fellowship of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. Would you turn back with me to the Acts of the Apostles, please? Acts chapter 4. And it is verse 12 and 11. This is the stone, said the disciples, persecuted, suffering, This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. This is the reward of those who obey the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be with him. To be in his fellowship, in the fellowship of God the Father. And to be like him. In Romans 8, the purpose of the Holy Spirit of God is that we might be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the work of the Spirit of God. That he might make us like unto Jesus. And this is the desire in the heart of everyone that knows him, to be with Jesus. And it changes the whole missionary pattern. And this indeed is the call today. For men and women to be with Jesus Christ, to live with him, to enjoy his fellowship, wherever that may be. For some of you here today, I have no doubt whatsoever, your calling is to be with him overseas, into Bible school, to get to know him, and to be with him over there. Someone said to me just this week, talking about years, and we have been privileged to have many years in the Lord's service, some 20 years in India. Great privilege. I think we would be there today if we had been permitted to stay there and serve us elsewhere. Someone said to me this very week, you must have experienced many great hardships. Well, for a moment I thought that's rather nice, you know, to think that folks would imagine we've gone through pretty tough things and hardships. But a spirit of honesty moved me to say, no, not really. You see, we have lived with Jesus Christ. Wherever we have gone, we've made our home. You know, it takes three to make a home. It takes God and a man and a woman. That's home. And in our missionary experience, we've always considered ourselves, God in Jesus Christ and my wife and I, we've always considered ourselves a local church. We have never been, we have prevailed in prayer and travailed in prayer for that day when there would be indeed a church born of the people. But in the meantime, we've been worshipping the Lord together. Not on Sundays only, but every day we've considered ourselves a local church of Jesus Christ with our little child. We've worshipped the Lord together. We've sung his praises, we've read his word, we have exercised the ministry of intercession. This is life. And it's this that keeps the missionary, man or woman, or married couple, in a spirit of freshness and joyfulness. We're not merely waiting for things to come, but we're experiencing them now. To be with Jesus. You remember when he gave the great command? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and lo, I am with you always. This is the calling, to be with Jesus. And to know Jesus with us. I feel that this was something that God showed my wife and I. It was very, very precious. And you know, considering ourselves rightly, a New Testament church, we look to the Lord to add unto the church daily such as should be saved. So here was the church, my wife, myself, and the Lord, and we were looking to him to add unto it. The first church, one of the churches, which always brings great joy to our hearts, that the Lord added unto us, was composed 100% of Muslims. Not great numbers, half a dozen if you like, men and boys, half a dozen women and girls. At least that, sometimes many more. Everyone a Muslim, but meeting in the name of Jesus Christ, meeting under the ministry of his word, and singing the hymns in their language that you and I sing. You know, this is life. It's not an excruciating experience to be a missionary. It's a wonderful experience to be a missionary. And those early disciples were called to be with him, and they were. They made many mistakes, make no doubt about that. Simon Peter for a time was not with him, turned away with him. But Jesus was with Peter. Simon Peter left Jesus, but Jesus never left Peter. They were with him. With him at his cross, with him at his resurrection, with him at his ascension. And they continued to be with him throughout the whole lives after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And Christian history tells us that I think without exception, all of them entered into martyrdom with him and never turned aside. This is the challenge to us today, to be with Jesus Christ. We are concerned, all God's people are deeply concerned, that there seems to be so many closing doors in the world. It's disheartening to young people. I wonder if there are so many closing doors to the gospel because men and women are not praying. Because one-time prayer batteries, which were vital for Jesus Christ, seem no longer to be vital. I sincerely believe that doors close because men and women cease to pray. When doors begin to close, there's a greater urgency for travailing prayer. And remember this, that the ultimate authority in this world, if I may borrow those words, is God himself. The Lord reigns upon the throne of this earth, and he shall fulfill his will. Oh, there's a tremendous need today for men and women to be with Jesus Christ in the prayer meeting, in their homes, in the prayer battery, in the church. There's a tremendous need for men and women to walk with Jesus Christ, and like this woman who ministered unto him of their goods. They were with him. They ministered to him. And the call never ceases for men and women and young people to be with him where he would go. I'll repeat it again for some of you, irrespective of your age. Perhaps you've never seen this simple little thing before. God's call for you is to be with him. I dare not say where. I dare not mention a geographical situation. The Lord is sovereign. He's the master. He's the responsibility and the privilege to direct his children where to go with him. We had in our mission one time an application for a missionary. It was a dear brother who was brought along the way by that very dear brother Bob Anderson. Those of you who remember Bob know what a tremendous character he is. Bob's the sort of fellow would go into a home and for the aged and have them all out in the mission field. And he came along, Bob, pulling a retired bank manager. And with Bob pulling and the mission pushing, it was a hard job to keep him out, but we had to keep him out. He was a retiring age. He went to the field nevertheless, went to a country where English literature was usable, and that was his ministry. We heard of him, say, 3 years after, very active in the Lord's service, and I've never heard of him since. I don't think he's come back to Australia yet. And that was 15 years ago. There is a call. Oh, the matter is this, brothers and sisters. God calls every child of his to be with him. There's no exception. If you're not with Jesus, whom are you with? And there's a call to young men and to young women with all their lives before them to be with him. I tell you what we're going to do, dear friends. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray, you and I. We'll commit it all to the Lord and ourselves to the Lord. And there'll be no catches about it, no subtlety, no guile. We're going to pray. And then there's going to be an opportunity, the call for the response, the call of God and the response of those who love him to quietly stand in this congregation. Maybe elderly people, certainly be young people, you grand young people who got a taste of the Lord. You're proving that he is good and you want to live with him here in Australia, in Chinchilla, if you like, or you want to live with him overseas, if that's where he will. This one thing, you want to live with Jesus Christ. And this is the call, the challenge this afternoon. Let us pray. Father, there's no... We who have experienced forgiveness of our sin, some of us, it's been a very, very deep matter. We had reached the end of the way. Life had ceased to be worth living. We had destroyed ourselves when Christ came into our lives and renewed us and transformed us. And then we've considered this very lovely thing, the way that Jesus calls his disciples. He called them to be with him. And they were with him, and the world saw and knew and bore testimony that these men and these women had been with Jesus Christ.